LNB's audio diary for the 4th of January, 2024. It is a Thursday, and it's just about 11:45 in the morning. We had a lot of snow last night. First real snow, certainly of the year, but actually of the winter. We had some snow earlier, but it didn't really amount to anything. But this, we probably got about, about 5-6 inches last night. And it's not the dry powdery snow, it's the heavy wet stuff. So right now I am sweeping it all away, shoveling. Well, I should use a shovel, but I don't know, I'm kind of addicted to the broom. It's just so much easier for me. I don't know, everyone's got their thing, I guess. So anyway, yeah, real snow. And we're going to have cold weather, possibly a little more snow coming up. Right now it's sunny, but boy, there's some ugly clouds on the way. Not liking the look of that. Yeah, so you've been here before. If you're a long-time listener, you know I'm just out here shoveling away. I did my stretches this morning, so I'm hoping I won't have any back issues. I had a lingering back injury from shoveling snow. Well, it's a bunch of years ago now. But that took me about a year and a half to finally put behind me. And I guess to an extent I still have issues with it. But I'm able to deal by doing my stretches, taking it seriously, you know. Oh, the car, I'm up to the car, and it is pretty much just a snowbank. Let's see, I'll clear it off as best I can so I can turn it on and let it run for a while. On days like this, I like to do that. If we had a garage, I'd put it in the garage, but we don't. So I don't. Let's see. Yeah, I'll go down this side. Driver's side, so I can get in there. Let's see. Aside from the fact that winter's here, not a surprise to anyone, what have I been up to? Well, let's see. First off, our new year was very, very nice. It was just the three of us, a nice quiet new year as we prefer. We always try to have a decent meal and have sake handy to ring in the new year. And for us, the new year begins when the ball drops in Times Square in New York City. You know, being New Yorkers, that's the center of the universe, right? So that's what we did. We found a stream on YouTube and just, you know, I plugged it into the speakers. Don't usually use those in the house, but occasions like this. And we had that going. We tied one on, all of us. you know, little Bronx is 21 now, so he can drink. And yeah, he's not a heavy drinker. We got him some, you know, wine cooler type things. And, you know, he even tried a couple of really mild mixed drinks. But it wasn't until he tried the sake that he threw up. Oh, I felt bad about it, but in the end, we all kind of overindulged. And my gosh, it's been a while since I've done any drinking. And I had a little bit of sake at Christmas time. That was the first in months that I've had of anything to drink. And that was fine, because as I say, it was just a little bit. But boy, New Year's Eve, I drank just wine and sake. That's all I had, wine and sake. But brother, it took me 2 days. 2 days to get over that hangover. Not cool, and I'm in no rush to repeat it. Boy, I guess I'm just out of practice, man. Out of shape. Out of drinking shape. That's a real thing, in case you didn't know. So anyway, Despite how we were feeling the next day and the day following, it was a really wonderful evening for all of us. Mrs. Bronx made her family recipe for rice and gandulas, which are pigeon peas. And it's a Puerto Rican recipe her family used to follow, but she found out her mother doesn't make it anymore because her father doesn't like pigeon peas for whatever reason. I like them, and we enjoyed it. It's got green olives and all kinds of spices and, special flavoring mixes that are endemic to Puerto Rican cuisine. And it was marvelous. Really good. The rice on its own is almost like a meal. It's really wonderful. But I also made fish, and we had fish, and no, it was just, we all ate, and we had rice pudding for dessert. Mrs. Bronx made her family recipe for rice pudding, and that was wonderful. And it's primarily much like other kinds of rice pudding recipes you might see, except that she makes it using sweetened condensed coconut milk, and that turns out really nice. Really, really nice. So anyway, our New Year's Eve, which is a big holiday for us, it was really quite wonderful. And we were all very, very happy. I just bumped the mirror. I'll have to reset that when I start the car, which I'll be doing momentarily. Let's see, let me clear off here. Here. Yeah, let me just clear up to the door anyway. All right. So yeah, that was our ringing in of 2024 and saying goodbye to 2023. I've heard online a lot of people feel that 2023 was not a good year for them. I think it was a pretty good one for me overall. I did a lot of things, good and bad, but a lot of things that I think were overall things I can be proud of. I had been actively working on my weight and I lost about 30 pounds of weight. I've been putting some back. I've been a bad boy, but that's part of my New Year thing. I'm gonna try to get back right onto that, jump back onto that pony right away. I finished All He Surveys, Volume 1. That felt very good. That felt very good. As I imagine you can picture, that would be a good feeling. And a few other things. We were able to, my son turned 21. He's a man now. Lots of things to be happy about. So while 2023 wasn't a magical year, it was not a bad one for me. And I wasn't relieved to see it go, but you gotta let it go. So that's what we did. 2024, I have a high hope for. I really do. I have a big plan when it comes to the writing part of things. Volume 2 of the book is scheduled to be all done, and I started that already. First step was to read everything I'd written for Volume 2, because I have so much of Volume 2 already done. I have a first draft of everything already done and a fourth draft of about half of it. So there's a lot that's already been accomplished there, and there's a lot that I've managed to get done so far for Volume 2. But there's so much more to do. So it's not anything to rest. Sit back and rest on my laurels there. I gotta hit the ground running. But that's fine. I knew I would. And it's no surprise. So, let's see. Yeah, I'm in the car. Let's get this baby fired up. Oh, I need to go and check and make sure the exhaust pipe is clear. I don't know that it is. Let me do that right now. Let's see. Yeah, it is. It is. All right. Yeah. the way the wind blew, it's there's like an empty space right there, so there's tons of space. Tons of space. All right, let's just fire this up and go. Oh, yeah, I'm already out of breath. I haven't eaten this morning, but I did figure I needed. Yeah, I know. Let's see, front and rear, defrosters, and that's good. Okay, that'll do. Let's let that run. Yeah, I don't even know what I was saying. Anyway, so that's this year. What else do I want to do? Well, let's see. What else has been consuming me? That stupid role-playing game has been consuming me. It's just been a focus of my attention. And I've been creating all sorts of things for in-person gaming. Material, extra materials that I could use to keep track of the game and see what sort of methodology I can do to keep things more efficient and run more efficiently and quickly and easily while yet testing all of the rules, right? The thing about this game that I've expressed on numerous occasions to you, dear listener, and, you know, in the book itself, is that a lot of the rules are optional, right? But they're not optional for me, right? Because I'm the designer and I have to test everything, right? So I have to make sure all of the rules are working. That's part of my obligation. I haven't done it yet, obviously, but it's part of the obligation of creating these things to make sure it actually does what you say it does. So I have to keep everything straight when I'm playtesting. And to that end, I've created various things to help me keep track of stuff. I told you a while back I've created several different die towers, right? And a die tower, actually, I have found old school gamers, a lot of them don't use them because we didn't have them back in the old days. They hardly existed. They did exist, but they hardly existed. They were a little tough to come by, and they were generally portrayed as tools to keep players from cheating, if you can imagine that, right? I don't think that they ever did or ever could do that job. Period. Not even very well. Just period. I don't think they could ever do that job. But what they can do is keep the dice in one spot. Keep it from flying all over the table, all over the room, for God's sake. Just drop the die. It's fully randomized, right? I guess that was the thing, to make sure, you know, the die was randomized. Well, that can be a problem. Sometimes people, they think they're rolling the dice. I think I'm rolling the dice, but I get the same numbers over and over. That can't be right, you know? So a good die tower will randomize that roll. That's one thing it does, but mostly it just keeps the die contained so that you don't have to chase the damn thing, right? My God, the amount of hours, I think, adding up, people just picking up dice from the floor in my old games. My God. And we never use the things. So, anyway, I made one of these recently, and it's a little one, but it works really, really well. I'm very happy with it. And it's just made out of cheap corrugated cardboard. Looks ugly, works well. Okay. I saw there's a, I've talked about him a little bit, but there's a gamer on YouTube that I've been following. His channel, his name is Daniel, and his channel is Bandits Keep Actual Role, or Actual Play. I think I said him, Bandits Keep Actual Play. And he does a lot of actual role-playing game sessions, as well as a lot of solo play for old-school D&D. Now, I'm not an old-school D&D player, and we're talking first edition, not first edition. We're talking original D&D, what they call OD&D. And that's the original box set, the four little booklets. And he's got game system of his own designed around OD&D and combining Chainmail, which was a war game that Gary Gygax and others have made, and Gygax made a bunch of war games, but this was one that was published and designed for OD&D to work with for mass combat. So he's got, in other words, he's done a lot of work in this field, and he's got a really delightful, to me anyway, delightful solo role-playing channel. And one of the things that he's got, and I think I talked, did I talk about this? If I did, I apologize. But he's got a, yes, I did talk about this. He's got a dice tray that's got these tabs on it that you can flip up, and they number from 1 to 10, and it's for keeping track of, well, anything really, rounds that have passed, hit points, anything you need to count and keep track of externally, right? And I like that thing. That's really a great idea. So I wanted one, right? But I don't like the fact that it's attached to a dice tray instead of a dice tower, because his dice, they're like, they're made of rubber. They bounce all over the place. They bounce right out of the tray half the time. So, I don't like that. But, I did want the other thing. So I designed one, and I made one out of cardboard, and it works really well. And more corrugated cardboard. And I designed it in such a way that I can work with the die tower. So the die tower can actually fit inside this thing, or in adjacent to the thing, fit, work together, right? If I want it to. More or less, it's just an arts and crafts project that I wanted to do so I could stay busy. You know, I'm not gonna say that I need this thing, because I guess I don't. Although for, you know, extensive testing, and I intend to do a lot of testing, the more I have that will allow me to keep things straight, the better, right? I've designed what I call a combat tracking chart, right? And it's specifically for Star Drifter. And the combat tracking chart, or CTC, is 1, 2, 3, 4, it's like 3.5 pages long. And it should allow me to keep track of every variable of the game in combat that I've developed so far, right? And that brings me to really an important insight that I had, and what I think might be a flaw. In fact, I know is a flaw of the game. If you're using all of the variable rules, and there's my out, right? All of the optional rules. And that is, by using the CTC, you see everything that you need to keep track, right? And this is for the latest rules, not any that anybody has seen yet, right? I've been developing the next generation of rules for this game for a long time, because it's a huge change, right? It's the biggest change. So probably the biggest, no, a great deal of rules additions. It's not a huge change from the 0.05 series of rules. So let me be exact on that. But I've come up with a lot of optional rules, and those, a lot of them require tracking things. Now, those of you who are used to playing games will know where this is heading, right? Because there are so many optional rules, the game has become one of resource management, the combat, right? And that is to say, you're in a fight. If you're a player character, you have stamina to keep track of. You have hit points to keep track of. You have ammunition to keep track of. And with the optional rules, you now have status effects, which are sit mods that are applied in a fight due to damage you might take, right? And that they might perpetuate throughout the fight, and you have to track all that. So that's, what, five things? Four things? Five things that the player characters are required to track, right?
I'm the player character as well as the game master in any tests that I'm doing, right? So I have to keep track of that for all the characters, right? So you multiply that by all the characters that are in this particular fight, and I have to test it with small amounts of people and large amounts of people. So you can see where how complicated that gets. And on top of that, we have to keep track of our rounds, right? And our turns. And our turns are associated with initiative, right? So in Star Drifter, initiative can be, doesn't have to be, it's an optional rule, can be rolled each round, right? New initiative each round. And you go down the line in order, and you have to track that. So this becomes something that you spend a lot of time doing paperwork if you're doing every rule, all right? Now then, I wouldn't expect anyone, and I certainly wouldn't, if I'm running a game, and I am. I have an intermittent game. We're going to start up again in, about 2 weeks or so. We took off for the holidays. I'm not using all of those optional rules, right? Certainly not all the time, right? Just a few things here and there, maybe to test something that I really need other input on, right? And we're not playing this version of the game. We're playing the previous one, 0.05.2, all right? So the game has become a game of resource management. It becomes a game of tracking statistics and making sure you have all the ammo you need, having, a sense of how much damage your character has taken. Oh, and on top of that, NPCs get what's called a nerve roll, okay? And nerve is an aspect of whether or not they're going to keep fighting in a fight. It has, you use it in other contexts as well, not just combat, but I'm testing combat, right? So you have to track that as well. And you have to see who's in the game, you know, who's still in the fight, I should say, and who isn't. So when you're doing it all yourself, and you're doing it with a lot of characters, there's a lot to keep track of, and that's where the CTC comes in, right? And I designed this thing, and it's got so much fine detail in it. I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to have to go to a printer and have it printed on a quality laser printer so that I could see all of the little lines and all of the little, you know, there's a lot of small print on it to make everything fit. Then I have to assemble it in such a way that I'm able to use it in the fashion that I imagine, right? And that is something that I would need to use in person in a game with real people, right? Sitting around a table. You could use it. You could use it if you were, playing over the internet. You could totally use it there. But with, you know, real people, you're keeping a track. Now, if I were familiar with it, which even though I created it, I'm not familiar with using it yet. But if I did that, I got familiar with it, I could keep track of everything relatively quickly, right? Relatively quickly. Now then, what does all this mean? This means the game being a resource management game at its full-blown height is a different game than I envisioned. It's not the game I thought it would be. So that begs the question, what am I doing with my time, right? What have I created? What have I come up with? I've come up with a thing that is not the thing I thought the thing would be, right? And I have to decide if that's a good thing or a bad thing, right? Good witch or a bad witch. I have to find if this game is fun. If at its core, despite all the resource management, if at its core this game is fun, then it gets to stay. If at its core this game, this full-blown version of the game with all the options on, right? If this game isn't fun, then it doesn't get to stay. And by fun, who gets to judge? I get to judge, because it's my game, right? If I don't think it's working out, it doesn't live beyond this version. Now, other games, if they have a lot of optional rules, do they become more difficult to play? Well, probably they do, right? There's more to consider. But do they become a game that's best played by bookkeepers as opposed to gamers? That I don't know. I don't know enough about other games using all the rules. I know that Advanced Dungeons & Dragons combat was slow if you used all the rules, right? A lot of OSR or AD&D players today, fans of you know, the old game, they may disagree, but the fact is that even back in the old days, we didn't keep a lot of the combat rules when we were fighting. We did not use weapon speed. We did not consider reach of a weapon. We didn't use encumbrance. There were a lot of rules that we never kept track of because it became a bookkeeping game. So, you know, if I learned it from anywhere, that's where I learned it from. But we didn't do it, right? We weren't fans of that. That slowed the game down, slowed combat down. And combat could be long anyway. If you had a lot of monsters and a lot of characters, your combat could take a long time. So, that's not a thing I'm a fan of. It's not a thing I'm a fan of, right? Now, I haven't even... I'm not even sure that what I've come up with for the CTC and all of the optional rules, I'm not even sure if it works at all, right? Let alone whether it's fun. I don't know that it even works, right? Because I haven't been able to test the full thing yet. Without a way to properly keep things going without, you know, I suppose I could write it all down on a piece of paper and try it that way. That's probably the easiest way to go until I can get something printed out. And if I get things printed out, I'm doing it personally. I'd like to have those charts printed out and laminated so that I can use dry markers or wet markers or something on right on the lamination to keep track of everything. Make life so much easier than writing everything down and throwing it out, right? So that's the plan. All well and good, and it's all for testing, right? It's all for testing. All for testing. So, what does all this so far tell me? Well, it tells me that the more realistic your game is, the more you have to keep track of. Well, that's not a surprise, right? I could have said that without doing any of this, and I'm sure it's something you could have guessed at. Dear listener, the more realistic, the more you have to keep track of, the more you have to keep in mind while you're working. You know, there's going to be a lot you're going to have to do. And, you know, if you want things to be realistic. Well, Star Drifter is not a realistic game, right? Or it's not supposed to be. Star Drifter is an abstract combat system, right? You have hit points and not necessarily damage to specific areas and, you know, the damage that you're taking that might slow you down here and there. And yet I've created that. Why? To test it, obviously. To test it, to see if it actually works. But it's meant to be abstract. And it's meant so that when you get hit, the game master or the player can say, yeah, my character, he takes this shot to the arm and he goes down and he's nursing his arm, but he gets up huffing and puffing and he's going to fight, right? So that's very cinematic. Rolling dice isn't cinematic, right? And it's this dance between cinematic gameplay and gameplay, right? So it's that eternal dance in role-playing games between role-playing and gaming, right? After all this time, I'm still not sure where I fall on that thing. I want a balance, personally, right? I want a balance. I don't want a game that's just effectively just storytelling, right? Just people sitting around telling stories. I don't want that. Neither do I want just a straight-up war game without any real character development without any real role playing of any kind, right? I want something in between. And I'm hoping by having all of these rules, right, but making them optional, that I or another player who thinks like me can find their sweet spot, right? They can find what they like and make active use of it again and again, right? And if something seems like, in this particular instance, we want a little more gamified elements, we can do that. In this other instance, we want more cinematic elements, right? Well, up until now, I haven't put much in the way of cinematic elements into the game. I'm not entirely certain how to go about that either. But one thing's for sure, gamified elements I have been working on. So, see, the more abstract the thing is, the less gamey it is, right? Gamey not in flavor and smell, but in, you know what I mean. So, the more abstract it is, the more cinematic potential it has, right? So I could tap into that potential by just having, you know, a few descriptors associated with certain types of attacks, or even if I wanted to, a table of descriptions that could tell, you know, if you're hurt here, this is what happens and how you might describe it. You know, maybe a little more approach as a writer to describe how some of this might look, right? To a potential player or game master. I don't know. I honestly don't know the best result, but I have what I've created so far, and that requires testing. So that's where I am. And I think at some point I'll be reporting on how the CTC is working out, you know, how I like it, how I think it helps the gameplay or hinders it. That's what testing's all about. And you know, I'm fully prepared for a lot of failure on this. I've had some already, and it was very illuminating and actually enjoyable. But to find things where, oh, that doesn't work at all. That can actually be a lot of fun to figure out how a game is falling down. Because the moment you see where it's falling down, very often you see where it can shine. And I'm more interested in finding that happy balance, in finding a way to move forward with a rounded game, one that at first blush, the game seems like it's a rules light game, and in its most basic form it is. But if you choose to engage with all the optional rules, you can't really call it rules light anymore. I mean, 3.5 pages of tiny print and tables to keep track of in a fight, I would not call that rules light, right? Or maybe it is rules light, but it's not maintenance free by any means, or even low maintenance. So, I don't know. I guess in the end, you know, I'm just not, even in the rules end of things, you know, because I know I kept talking about making this game, you know, up to a certain point, the rules up to a certain point, the actual game rules up to a certain point. And then I was going to focus on the universe. I was going to focus on the background and the setting and all of that. But I just can't leave the rules alone. I don't know why. I guess I'm just not satisfied. And I feel like there's more to exploit and there's more to work on, you know? The basic mechanic of the game seems to function, right? And I'm happy about that, because that was kind of a spur of the moment inspiration. You know, it's not the first game to use lower is better. You know, other games have done it, but you know, I hadn't really thought of it in the terms of you know, getting all of this, you know, or I should say structuring the entire game around the concept for that kind of combat anyway, the combat, and you know, skill use and everything else. I hadn't thought of it in those terms early on. But once I did, it all kind of fell into place. And the more I work on the rules, the more expandable it becomes. I've yet to run up against a roadblock in this structure of the game where it's like, you know, because there, I think we've all, if you've played a fair number of role-playing games, different ones, you'll see a game system where the inherent structure of the game is limiting. You know, you get, you know, it might seem pretty good at first, but you get to a point where they either have to adopt entirely different types of rules to make everything continue to work, or it becomes less and less useful, right? The game structure, the actual, the actual design of the game becomes less and less and less tenable to the point where the game breaks down, you know? The game breaks down and you have to house rule everything because the game doesn't work anymore, you know? House ruling's fine. I encourage it in this game. But you don't design a game to be house ruled. If you do, then they don't need you. They could do it all themselves, you know? So that's not what I'm after, right? I am after a game that can stand on its own, that if someone wanted to, they could play rules as written and have a good time. You know, if they wanted to, they could apply optional rules, because if a rule is optional, it is rules as written, okay? It means you can use it or not at your discretion, right? And I want a game that functions on these levels, and I want it to be balanced so that you can have cinema or cinema type action when you want it, or you can have games or gamified action when you want that. When you want fine detail, you know, like when you're finally up against the villain after you've chased this guy across the galaxy, right? And you're finally up against this villain. Maybe you're not used to tracking everything. Maybe you're not used to zone damage for the body, right? You take a shot in the leg and what does that do to you in the fight? Maybe you're not used to any of that, right? But for this fight, for this one guy, let's go all out. And I want a game that you just turn to the page and keep playing. You just keep playing. You don't have to completely change. You don't have to pull out new dice or new papers or new tables or anything like that. It's just another page in the book. And if I can manage that, then I think I will have achieved the game that I've been after. You know, the game I'm looking for. The game that I think I would have wanted to play when I was first playing. Now, I played a great game. I played Advanced Dungeons & Dragons when I first started, right? The brand new game system when I first started. Brand spanking new. The Game Master hadn't even found players to play with him yet. Brand spanking new. Not of Advanced D&D. He hadn't played with anybody. And so we were his guinea pigs. And it was only over time, and now, in retrospect, that I see all the things we did that probably were not good for the game. And certainly, in the end, they weren't good for us. Some things, just the way we played, created animosity among the players and led to a ridiculous amount of character death, right? Really not awesome. In other words, it wasn't perfect, but it was amazing because it was the first time I'd ever encountered a role-playing game. You know, it was early days still, and it was just incredible. And I want to recapture that for somebody. I want someone who's never played a role-playing game to sit down and just have a blast. Just have a blast. All right. I I've dug out the car. Next would be the driveway, but I need to take a rest. I'm not young anymore, and I was never robust. So I think that's gonna be it for the car for the moment. Take a little bit of a rest and then get out there. What is it? It's probably about 10, 12:30 now, something like. I'll get out here a little later and then keep working. And I guess that's it for today, because I am not done. Oh, and I got a call. See ya.